The second characteristic of masters of the lamp is they believe they're worthy of receiving what they're asking for. Jane Bluestein, who's an educational consultant and a longtime self-esteem trainer, friend of mine, said that when she started her business, she had no money. So she decided to go to the bank for a loan. And the problem was she had no collateral. They had a house, but the fact was that the real estate contract was such that they didn't get the actual deed until they made the last payment. They haven't made that many payments. And so all she had was her belief in herself. So she got dressed up and she took a copy of her new book and she went into the bank and she walked up to the loan officer and she threw the book on his desk and she said, "Look, you don't know me. I don't even have an account here, but I just started this business. It's going to help a lot of people and I'm really smart and I need some money." And he said, "Well, how much do you need?" And she said, $15,000. And he wrote the check. And as she was walking out of there, part of her said, "You know, who the heck do you think you are?" Then the other part of her mind said, "Well, I don't care. I've got $15,000 more than I had an hour ago. Perhaps I should have asked for 30. What got her that loan was the belief that she was worthy of getting it. She wasn't going to take no for an answer. She was coming from a ground of being that she was going to get it.
I want to add one little thing to that. Is you got to be willing to ask. You got to feel worthy, as Jack said. But the other thing, you got to be willing to ask enough people on this little circuit. If you had to go to 10 banks and do that, or 20 or 30, I mean, Walt Disney got turned down by everyone and said to his brother Roy, "You go find the money because I'm going to build Disneyland and Disney World." And we've had the great privilege of befriending a guy named Art Linkletter. And Walt Disney invited Art Linkletter down from Hollywood to walk the empty ground he had bought down in Anaheim, California. And he said, "Can't you see it? There's Magic Mountain. Can't you see it? There's Wonderland, Tomorrowland, Futureland." And Disney just spun his dream. And Art had known it. He'd gone bankrupt multiple times, and he just kept shaking his head, "No way, I'm not investing in this." And Art told us one day while we were together, "Every step cost me $10 million because I didn't think he was credible, worthy, and going to make it." See, the masters of the lamp, number three, believe they can get it. Now, they become what Eric Hoffer in his book calls true believers. That belief is unstoppable. It's impenetrable. It's invincible. And all masters of the lamp have this kind of belief that they're going to get it. They're optimistic. They're positive. They're exuberant. Some call it faith. Now, you all know the line, faith is substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Because we're talking about one of my heroes, Walt Disney. In Walt Disney's last day on the earth, he's in a hospital. And a man comes in to do the last interview. And he's finishing up and he says, "Walt, I feel so bad for you that you're never going to see Disney World in Orlando and you're never going to see Epcot, Experimental Prototypical Community of Tomorrow." Disney sits up in bed and says, "You're nuts. You're an idiot." He said, "If I didn't see it, you won't ever see it. I've already seen it. It's already done." That's the kind of faith you got to have. That's the mountain-moving faith that gives you peak-to-peak experience where you're a true believer. You've got confidence in confidence alone.
Now, my favorite story of someone who really believed they could get it started when I was teaching in a seminar. In fact, you know, this is the seminar, Mark, that you and I used to go to a lot, and we met each other at this conference. Yeah, we met about 17 years ago there. Well, I was there in 1988 teaching, and Rick Gelinas, who I think is one of the master askers on the planet and really believes that anything's possible, stands up in the middle of my seminar when I'm speaking about the need to ask, ask, ask. And he says, "You know, I want to tell you how I came to be at this conference." I said, "Okay, go ahead." Gave him a microphone. He started talking to the group. He said that he and his wife, Linda, had just started a self-esteem training program down in Miami called Little Acorns. And it's a program where they go out to schools where there are kids at risk, and they believe that little acorns are going to grow into mighty oak trees, but they have to be nurtured, watered, and so forth. And they teach teachers how to do that. But they have to pay these teachers a little bit for after school to do it, and they have to raise a lot of money. And they had just started this, and part of the reason was that Rick's son had been killed by a drunk driver. He didn't want other people to grow up and become drunk drivers. And so he turned his pain into his passion. And he had all the passion, but he had no money. So he gets this brochure for this Mandala Holistic Health Conference. We're going to be talking about holistic education and how to live your dreams. And he knows he has to be there. And they just started working out of their home, and they're exhausted. Their personal savings are gone. But he knows he has to be there. So he's standing up in front of the group, and I'm thinking, okay, what's the point of the story? And he says, "What I did was I called the conference coordinators and I said, we've got this program. It's helping kids. We've got to be there. It's so important. It'll help thousands of children. We can't afford it. Will you give us 2 free complimentary tickets to the conference? And the guy says, sure, you got it. No problem. He says, now I notice some people are staying at the university. Can you comp us that? They said, no, unfortunately, we can't do that because we have a contract and we have to pay for those rooms. And we can give you a free show up, but you can't stay there for free. You have to find your own housing or pay for it. So he goes to his wife, Linda, and he says, we got free tickets to the conference. She says, great, but the conference is in San Diego. We live in Miami. How are we going to get there? He says, well, I don't know. We're going to make it work. I believe we're going to do this. So he calls Northeast Airlines. He speaks to the president, Steve Quino, and he asks him to donate 2 free round-trip tickets from Miami to San Diego. And before he could finish the sentence, Steve says, of course I will. You're helping the kids of this county. I'm glad to play. Just like that. It was that fast. And the next thing he said really floored him. He said, thank you for asking. Rick said, pardon me? Steve said, look, I don't have an opportunity to do the best thing that I can for the world unless someone asks me to. The best thing I can ever do is to give of myself, and you've asked me to do that. That's an incredible opportunity, and I want to thank you for that opportunity. Well, Rick was blown away, but he thanked him, and he hung up the phone. He looked at his wife, and he said, honey, we got the plane tickets. She said, well, great, but where do we stay? He said, next, I called the Holiday Inn downtown Miami, and I asked, where's your headquarters? And they told me it was Memphis, Tennessee. So he calls Tennessee, and he patches through to the guy in San Francisco who controlled the Holiday Inns in California. And he asked him, is there any Holiday Inns that we can stay at in San Diego for 3 days? He said, sure. Yeah, I hear what you're trying to do. Tell you what, you'll be our guest in a downtown San Diego. He said, that'd be fine. Then the guy says, now I need to caution you here. You got to know that 35-mile drive from downtown San Diego to the La Jolla campus where this is being held at UCSD. Wow, 35 miles. He says, look, I'll take it. I'll figure it out if I need to buy a horse. So he thanks the guy and he goes to Lynn. He says, honey, we got the admission. We got 2 plane tickets and we got a place to stay. What we need now is a way to get back and forth from the hotel to the campus twice a day. So next, he calls National Car Rental, tells them the same story, and asks if they could help out. And they said, would a new Olds 88 be okay? He said it would. So we put the whole thing together in 1 day. Now, here's the interesting part. He's standing up. He's telling this whole thing to the conference. He gets a standing ovation. Then he looks at the group of about 100 people in this session. And he says, and by the way, if anyone would like to take Linda and I to lunch and treat us, we'd be willing to accept the offer. And about 50 hands went up and said, I'll take you. Here's a guy who gets what he wants because he asks with enthusiasm and he asks with the belief that he's going to get it.